Welcome back to the podcast. That was my first gymnopédie. I decided to try the form made famous by Eric Satie, the French pianist and composer. And it was a really hard task because I usually don't write in such a minimalist way. I don't always place those kinds of restraints where you're considering each and every note in the mix, but that's what you have to do in everything you write. So it's a good exercise to get out of that frame of mind where you think that you have to play some, you know, ornate, glorious, you know, run, and instead has you focus on accuracy and how to actually play and master simple ideas, which I think will get you to those more ornate and lavish ideas that you can find prose using. You know what I mean? Because, like, you can't force yourself to have the vocabulary of someone who's way more evolved musically. You just can't force that on yourself. Like, you only have the vocabulary that you have. And most of us don't have that crazy facility until we get, you know, at least, you know, 10 or 20 years under our belt. So it's good to have composers who are examples of just mastering simple ideas and focusing on the whole, you know, the thinking of what's good for the entire composition and not just what's good for that moment. And, you know, so it's like tempering your enthusiasm to make sure that you're fitting everything to the original intention and not veering off track too much, and having music that has, you know, a level of hyperactivity. And there's a place for like virtuosity and hyper musicality. But I don't think that's for everybody. And it's not something you want to do all the time. It's nice to have that as a part of your playing, but it can get in the way of the original intention and statement, because you just want the music to be incredible, but the statement is what's important, and sometimes you don't need all of the music. But of course, it's impressive and it's cool. But I think it's kind of like outfits. Like, you kind of have like a point system where like things that draw your attention get more points. And so if you are wearing, you know, a shirt that's 5 points, then your shoes can't also be 5 points, and your pants can't be 5 points, because you've exceeded the limit now. And now you're drawing an inordinate amount of attention to all these different places instead of focusing on what's good for the entire appearance. you've gone, you know, you've gotten myopic. So you think that every single piece within the whole has to be its own masterpiece. And in a sense, that might be true, but it's not true in the sense that it's supposed to draw your attention at to the same degree as everything else, because that can be sort of exhausting for the person on the other end, the receiver, the observer. So music is like that. You only want to have so much going on with every instrument. Like, you wouldn't want to have every instrument doing something individually captivating at the same time, because then it would kind of sound like four separate people in sync, kind of showing off, but still kind of in sync. They wouldn't be supporting each other, creating something greater than the parts. So, does that make sense? Like, you can't have four frontmen in a group, because, or you can't have, you know, four people who want to play their own ideas to their highest degree, because it's about restraint, and when each group member plays less and contributes to the greater vision, it seems like you get something that's far greater than listening to four people playing their own interesting lines, sort of separate from one another, which is still cool, and people still do that without even knowing it, and they can still, I guess, be kind of successful. But I think anyone who's familiar with the sort of the point system with regards to clothing and music will understand what I'm talking about. And when you hear it, and you can really recognize it, then you hear when it's not happening. And you can tell, you know, something's not clicking with this music, even though everyone in it is great. Something's not breathing right. And that's exactly what this is. It's the idea of the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And it applies on so many levels in life and art, but particularly with members in a group. You're not always playing at the same time. You're always playing as much as one another. You're often playing a supporting role for others. And it's all really important, again, because the greater statement is more important than, you know, anyone's desire to show off hyper musicality, which isn't as arrogant as you'd think. People just want to play what they're hearing and express themselves. It's not because they want to necessarily show you how good they are. It's just because, like, that's just what's happening. But you know, it's not an excuse for it. You do kind of have to temper it to fit the situation. Otherwise, you know, you probably won't be invited to play again. So all of this is to say that
classical music can teach you this principle. And even though you're not playing with a group, you have to embody this minimalism. And what's cool about this is you have to focus, because you're playing so little, you have to focus on strong tones, like, you know, arpeggio tones as they relate to your scales, because you're playing so little. It has to be strong inherently to be convincing, and so you can't just play any notes. But how do you get it to sound, you know, different? And I would say, you know, you can get that from not playing a scale straight up and down. You can play it in skips and things like that to get something different. And that way you're still playing so little, but since you know what to play, you don't really ever lose sight of what your options are. And there are so many options, so many scales, so many chords of scales, you know. So, but this was really hard. It was hard to come up with three different compositions all in the same vein, but like unique to each other. Surprisingly, like the writing of it, I'm not done with the last one yet. I'm gonna try to do that after this, but it only took like a week or a week and a half. And I might come up with more than three. But I kind of like the three that I've made so far, and I might just stick with that. We'll see. We'll see if more happen. But I like these. And I think you're gonna like them when I release them, when I deem them suitable for the internet. I will put them up. It's just a matter of either mastering the recordings I have or getting them recorded. You know, because I have these MIDI recordings that I think are pretty nice, but it would sound good to play them on a grand. That means I gotta relearn these, because I write them so fast that I can't actually play them all the way through. It's really fascinating how that happens to the writer of the composition. But believe it or not, I have to learn these again. And so I got that to do alongside learning these Bach inventions, which are going really well. But that's all I've been up to. It was just my birthday on the 5th, May 5th. And that was really nice. Spent a lot of time with my family. And but sadly, two other things happened this past couple weeks. That's been, you know, kind of overwhelming. One, my my dog passed away, my fourth dog. My fourth dog, Sydney. She died at 15. She was at the end of the life expectancy for dogs of her breed. And you know, the decline was steep. She was getting older, but, you know, but she was hanging on for a while. And then at this point, just a few weeks ago, she started showing signs of, you know, the beginning of decline, like losing control of one leg when she's walking. And then there just came a day where she couldn't get up anymore. So we said that was it. And, you know, we had to put her down, and it was really tough, but I had a great life with her, and her spirit is still around us. I feel her. And yeah, so these things just come up and they just happen. I wonder how much of it has to do with what we feed them, you know? Who knows if the dog food is any good? Yeah, it's been quite a week. And also, my friend got into a car accident, and he's fine now. He just has a couple stitches, but it really makes you think about how you live. And I'll have my friend on to talk about it, but in short, it just makes you reconsider how you live your day to day, and you know what risk really means. So I hope all of you you know, meet the day in a safe and calm way, because that's really the only way that's truly worth it in the end. And with that, I'm gonna close out, and until next time, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Take care.